Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is coming from 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, 2nd chapter, 11th verse. When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? Amen. I don't have a lot, just have a little. Bear with me just for a little while. Reading from the King James Version, the 11th verse says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Amen. For the reading of God's word. Amen. My subject is still the same. I still want you all to understand who Satan is, and I want you to understand his works and his devices and the things that he do. I mean, oftentimes we want to hear a message about prosperity and how to get more money and how to get this better paying job and how to get this new home and new car and relationships. But we need to understand that the devil is out there working against what you are trying to do. Amen. So we need to understand those things as well. Amen. We need to know that he is an adversary. He is working against what God is doing in your life. And if you're not careful, what God has planned and what God is trying to do, the devil will try to delay it or even try to destroy it. So we need to understand, at least Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Devices are things that you use to attach to something else, make a connection. Satan tries to use devices against us. Matthew chapter 16 and 18, it said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, I want you all to understand something. Churches don't always qualify under the category of my church. You need to understand that. The devil has his churches as well as some of them used to be God's churches. He knows that to openly attack the church would only serve to unify and strengthen it. So the only other method is to infiltrate the church and work from within to destroy it. So what do? He uses people and problems. But these are not the real enemy. He is the real enemy. And not flesh and blood alone. Satan will come into a church, use an individual to come at other individuals, and next thing you know, he will divide and conquer. I mean, if you all know churches that split, churches that have, they got so much hell in there that you can't understand how God can be in the service. Let's just be real with that. Because Satan likes to go into the churches and he likes to infiltrate into the churches. See, we have a good thing going and Satan knows it. And I believe that there's a bullseye on top of this roof. Satan being the adversary, prince of power, the prince of the air. He's flying over Rhema and he see a bullseye. On top of it, wants to infiltrate, wants to come in. I remember when we got the roof fixed at the top, I went up there to see the roof. And I'm going to tell you, it was so bright up there, I had to put shades on. And I was reminded that that's God's glory. I mean, it was bright. Let me tell you something. You can't go up on this roof with the naked eye and try to look. It's bright up there. very bright. And I was reminded that that's God's glory shining down on us. Our enemy, the devil, he is busy. Y'all heard this phrase before? The devil is busy. The devil is busy, striving to deceive and destroy as many souls as he can before time ends. And he has many devices at his disposal to achieve this goal. Many devices at his disposal to achieve this goal. Paul noted that we should behave in a particular way so as to not give the devil an opportunity to succeed, for we are not ignorant of his devices. The devil has many ways he will try to tempt a lot of different ways that he would try to use and lead us astray and or simply delay our entrance or our obedience to God's will. The more we know about how he operates, the better prepared we would be to ensure we are able to recognize his work and defeat his efforts. So the Bible refers to the devil by a number of names and descriptions. Notice he tries to be like God. We know God has many names. So Satan has many names. He is the complete opposite of what God is. Satan is seen as the anointed cherub, the ruler of demons, the ruler of this world, the god of this world, and the prince of the power of the air. He is identified as the great dragon, a roaring lion, the tempter, and the accuser. He is cunning. He's clever. Paul, writing to the Corinthians church, realized that Satan was working overtime in the church and emphasizes that we are to be alert. How many of you work overtime? You like that extra money, right? Feels good, looks good when it hits into your account. Satan works overtime to try to wreak havoc on God's people, to destroy us. So what are some of the devices that Satan used? Some of the things that he used to try to destroy God's work. He uses method that includes distractions. How many of you all are easily distracted? He used discouragement, disappointment, frustration, failure, conflict, and disassociation. Distraction, let's take that. Satan tries to mock everything God does. Everything in his kingdom is the opposite from God's kingdom. He gives fear instead of faith, worry instead of peace, death instead of life, etc. Satan is the master of distraction. He will try to distract us from our purpose. So, let me say this. Don't raise your hands. But how many of you have some unfinished projects lying around collecting dust? See what I'm saying? Distractions. It's easy to get sidetracked. It takes tenacity to finish what we start because there are always so many competing distractions. Easily distraction. If I'm gonna tell you, when I try to read God's word, I sit down, try to read. Next thing you know, I look up, I see something that needs to be picked up. I see dishes that need to be cleaned. I see floor that need to be vacuumed, need a vacuum on it. And then all of a sudden you see yourself doing this when you could be studying. You follow me? We're easily distracted. Doesn't take much. My son is at a soccer game yesterday, and he was easily distracted. He was running. Everybody was going this way. He was going this way. He was looking over there at the girls. I kind of like that, though. Instead of him playing soccer, he got distracted by looking over there, he saw the girls in the, they were over there tumbling with the floor dance or whatever. So he's over there looking. I said, hey, Jeremiah, the ball is that way. So he turned around and he started going that way. Distracted very easily. Doesn't take much. Just a little distraction. Solomon wanted to build a house for God. He had all them wives. He got distracted. He not only built one, but he also built one for them as well. He did build a house for God. But when he was old, he also built places of idol worship for each of his strange wives he married. Satan, through his wives, had distracted him from wholeheartedly serving the Lord. Easily distracted. Let me tell you something. And I don't mean this in no way, but I only mean this as an education. When I was single, there was no distraction. I can study God's word from sun up to sundown. I had no distraction. I didn't have to go and see about these little ones. I didn't have to go and do this or do that. All I had to do was take care of me and study God's word. There was a time that I would get up and I would study. I'd be reading. I'd be so far into God's word. Next thing you know, it's like dark outside. And I'm like, hold on, what just happened? I had no distractions. But now when you're single, you can do that. But when you get married, there's all kind of distractions. You can't do that anymore. You can't just be about yourself. Satan tried to distract Jesus from his purpose in Matthew chapter 4 when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He tried to get Jesus to turn the stones to bread, to throw himself off the pinnacle and the temple and lust for riches and to worship him. But Jesus said, it is written. Jesus quoted him the word each time he was tempted. Devil trying to distract God from his purpose. Satan tries to distract you from your purpose. He tries to get you off track. The devil tried to distract Jesus again by using Peter's mouth. Oh, so the devil used somebody else. Yes. But Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Devil will use anybody that will make themselves available to him. We must be like Daniel. He didn't care what was going on. He prayed 3 times a day, morning, noon, and night. I mean, if you eat 3 times a day, you ought to be praying 3 times a day. Even when he knew that the king had signed a petition that says no one was to call on any God for 30 days, he still opened up his window and prayed unto God Almighty. They threw him in the lion's den, but God delivered him out. The men who conspired against him and their families were eaten by those same lions. Daniel was not distracted from his purpose because of that. A whole nation honored God. At least Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. The word of God shows us the enemy tactics and strategy. If we stay in fellowship with God and read his word every day, we will not be deceived or distracted by the things the devil throws at us. You won't be if you stay focused. The devil just can't devour anyone he chooses. We have to open the door for him to come in. We need to understand this. Ladies, men, the reason why people come into our lives is because we open up the door to that foolishness. Nobody's going to walk up to your door and have foolishness stamped on the top of their forehead. That's not going to happen. Nobody's going to knock on your door and then when you open it, it's going to say, "Foolishness, let me in." No, you're going to shut. You're going to, if you got a people, you're going to look and say, "Oh, that's foolishness out there. Oh, I ain't opening the door to no foolishness." But see, that's the cover up. Foolishness come looking any kind of way. You don't know what it is. But see, when you open the door to it, you're entertaining it. It shouldn't take you long. I was in a conversation with some of my coworkers and other people. I said, "I'm going to have some daddy and daughter dates. Yeah, I'm going to go out and I'm going to tell my daughter about what's going on. Let her know how a man should treat her and what she should see in a man. And if she don't see it, then it ain't a man. You go find something else, because that ain't a man." Nah, I don't mean no disrespect, but if she want a dog, I'm going to tell her to go get a real one. That's going to be loyal to her. Because when she say sit, I want it to sit. Now I'm just going to be, "Hey, come on now. Y'all let me be a pastor. Let me talk to y'all. I ain't up here talking no foolishness. I'm going to tell her, go get you a real dog. Don't mess around with nothing that's got two legs. Go get you a real one that's going to be loyal. That's going to protect you. Guarantee you. Guarantee you. You buy a dog and you raise, and that dog raise up. You raise that dog up, that dog will protect its owner. They ain't going to let you mess with a try. I dare you to try and mess with that person. And that dog is right there. That dog looking at you saying, "I wish you would." And the whole time, think about it. I mean, listen to what I'm telling you. While you having a conversation with this person, that dog is sitting there looking at you, looking at eye contact. I mean, looking and watching you. And if he see anything that he don't like, oh, it's going to be on. Because he's watching you the whole time. And he's looking at the master, looking at you. And he's waiting on you to say something, do something. Waiting on a command from the master. That's what a real dog. Four-legged one. That's a real dog. Treat you right. Protect you. You ain't got to worry about nothing. Let you know foolishness is at the door. Because it will sniff them out. I'm just saying. If we first submit ourselves to God and let him have control of our lives, then we will be able to reset the devil and he will resist the devil and he will flee from us. See, a lot of people try to resist the devil, but they have not submitted their lives to God. It's not going to work. That's just not going to work. How you going to try to resist the devil, but you ain't putting anything to replace? If you are still doing the same old, then if I don't care how much you try to clean up your life, nothing's going to change. If you still getting the same results, then there is a problem. If you still attracting deadbeats into your life, something is not right. Something is not right. Because you and if they have a liking to you, then there's something that they see that's it's like them. So what do you have to do? You got to do something different. So what I'm saying here, maybe some of y'all not understand what I'm saying. You know, if you want to know something about somebody, then if you are a child of God, if this person liked you, they will be here worshiping. You should have to say, "Come to church." Should I already be in them? They should be telling you, "Let's go to church." That's what I'm talking about. You want a man? This man will, a man will lead, a real man. But if you got a no good one, he gonna be sitting at your couch. What time you gonna be home? Hey, you know we need this bill paid because I gotta watch football. It's coming on. That's what you got. But a real man will come into your situation that God has sent and take over. Y'all follow what I'm saying? We'll take over the situation. What I mean by take over, I'm talking about in a good way. Not in a bad way. I'm talking about you won't even have to pump your gas anymore. You understand? That's a real man. You won't even have to pump your gas. All you got to do is just, all you got to do is pull up in the garage and if the man would know that the car is running low. Because he know where you've been. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Know how many miles it is to get to where you need to go. And how much gas it's going to take to get back. So if you even pass the half tank, he'll say, that's enough to get you there. It's enough to get you back. And I'll fill it up when you come. Real man for you. Real man take care of you. But you let Satan bring somebody into your life. You wonder why you broke. You wonder why you still having the same problems. Because you open up the door to some foolishness. You let them into your life. One of the things that Satan works on with us is try to get us discouraged. Man, that's one of his most... I mean, I'm going to tell you something. If you got something that's working for you, why change it? I wasn't a football person, but I mean, I'm going to tell you, if a play, one of the legendary coaches said, this play is working for me. If you can't stop it, why should I open up my playbook? You can't stop this play. Discouragement is what Satan used. Hoping that you will give up. Discouragement is a lack of hope, usually after a major victory. Many people are confronted with it on Monday after a breakthrough on Sunday. See, when you get lifted up on Sunday, now you got to go to work. And now you got to deal with them heathens, them folks, them people on your job or at the school, wherever it may be. Now you got to deal with some worldly folks. But that's why you got to stay prayed up. You got to stay, you minister to yourself. I mean, talk to yourself. Just don't answer back. But you can talk to yourself. You can encourage. David encouraged himself. You got to know how to dance before the Lord. You got to know how to shout when even no music is going on. You got to know how to do it on your own. You got to learn how to have deliverance walking with you. Even, I'm going to tell you, you're going to face it once you leave here. Yes, we all believe, you know, I'd like to say we all believe in Jesus Christ, but the devil does come to church. But let's, for the sake, we all believe in Jesus that are here. But what I'm saying to you, when you leave, you got to have some strength. You got to have some endurance, something that's going to carry you. You need the Holy Ghost with you. When you go on your job to give you the strength, so that as soon as they come to you, you're already covered. Let me tell you something. Whatever discouragement that you are facing today, you should not stop believing on God. You should not let your discouragement defeat you, but rather you should overcome your discouragement for the glory of God. Discouragement is one of the best tools that the enemy likes to use to defeat us. All of us, even the most gifted and strong men of God, experience discouragement from time to time. We do. Nehemiah, one of the best leaders and motivators of his time, taught us how to battle discouragement. Watch this. I don't want to lose anybody here. If you're discouraged, it may be you don't have to change anything a lot of times. You know, I believe in Jesus Christ. Ain't no sense in me changing that. Ain't no sense in me dissent. So if I get down, Hey, I don't need to change who I believe in because I believe in Jesus. So I don't need to change that. He has given the Holy Spirit to me as a comforter. So what do I mean by sometimes we don't need to change anything? Well, if I'm already there, sometimes we need to get away. What I mean by that? Well, you just need a vacation. You just need to, you need to, they give you what we call on our job is PTO, paid time off. In other words, it gives you an opportunity to get away for a little while, to refresh yourself, to get yourself together, because going in day in and day out, even your job know that you need some time away. So that's why you build up this time and you put your request in and you go and recharge yourself, refresh yourself, and then you're able to go back with a new mind, new walk, new spirit, because you've been revived, refreshed. So, and let me say this. It's not really what we go through that matters. It is what we go under that breaks us. We can bear anything if only we are kept inwardly victorious. If God can make his birds sing in stormy weather, how much more he can do for somebody who has their heart and trust in him? God making the birds sing and it's storming outside. Raining and trees are getting ready to topple over, but the bird is singing. But here it is. We got our trust in God. We should just, if you can't sing, just whistle. That's good enough. So Nehemiah, Satan uses frustration. Another tool that Satan used. You get frustrated. You know, people act like, you know, when they find out you're a pastor, don't try to be a pastor. They find out you're a pastor. They say, what are you doing getting frustrated? He shouldn't be frustrated. Not a man of God. I'm human. You mean to tell me I can't get frustrated? Satan uses frustration. You remember in Nehemiah, you look in chapter 4, verse 10, there was a lot of rubble. Nehemiah says there was rubble all around. This is what something we have in our lives. So much that it was getting in the way of rebuilding the wall. Had so much rubble. So you get frustrated. Do you have rubble in your life? Have you noticed that anytime you start doing something new, the trash starts piling up? If you don't clean it out periodically, it's going to stop your progress. So in other words, if you're working on a project, you got to get the rubble. You got to get the trash out. Because if you keep it there, it's just going to get it. It's going to start piling up. And all it's going to do is frustrate you. So you can't avoid it. So you need to learn to recognize it and dispose of it quickly so you don't lose focus on your original intention. So what is rubble in your life? Well, I think rubble is the trivial thing that wastes your time and energy and prevents you from accomplishing what God has called you to do. So if something is wasting your time and keeping you from doing what God has called you to do, that is rubble. It is hindering you from doing what God wants you to do. So in other words, what you need to do? Well, all I'm saying is clean it up and get it out of the way. Because it's not, you're going to lose focus on what your real intentions was. Your intentions was to rebuild the wall. In other words, your real intention was to rebuild your life. Get your life, your house in order. But you can't do that with all this rubble around you. So in other words, if you got folks just coming in and out of your house, clean that up. If you got folks doing any kind of and everything in your house, you got to clean up that rubble, because that's not going to work. So Satan uses frustration. The other thing he uses is failure. That we cannot rebuild the wall, that you cannot be born again, that you can't be saved. The people of Nehemiah were unable to finish their task as quickly as originally planned, and as a result, their confidence collapsed. They were thinking, we are stupid to think we could ever rebuild this wall. But you know what I do like about goals is that if I fail at this goal, I can just set another date. For example, not everybody graduates from college at the age of 22. Not everybody graduates with a master's degree at age 26. But what am I saying here? There's people that are graduating from college at the age of 40, at the age of 50, at the age of 60. What I'm saying is that just set another date. It doesn't mean that you can't accomplish anything. You just need to move the date. I mean, I know y'all got some extensions now. I know y'all call and say, hey, I'm going to need an extension. How good is that for? Huh? 6 months? Okay, I have it done by then. Get an extension. Extend the date. Not everybody's going to accomplish everything at the same time. Stop looking at what this person is doing. Run your race. Do your thing. Do what God is telling you to do. You can't focus on this person. Now they got their doctor's degree at age 30. So get yours. Don't allow the failure to discourage you. This is what Satan, we say, well, see, hey, you didn't get it by age 22, you done. You didn't get it by age 26, oh, you washed up. Still ain't got no kids, don't nobody want you. It's not true. It's not true. That is the lie that the devil puts in. And he gets you to believe this stuff. But see, if you got the word of God and you say, well, it is written that my daddy has plenty. And if he don't have it, he'll create it for me. And he'll send it to me and deliver it to me. And it'll be knocking on my door. And it won't have foolishness written across his forehead. You got to believe this for yourself. Have confidence. Yeah, walk like you are somebody, because ain't nobody else thinking much of you. So you walk like you somebody. I don't switch down the aisle. Whatever it is that you want to do, do it. It's you. God made you. Wonderfully made. Sometimes we need to reinforce. Need some reinforcements. When discouraged, call on the family of God for help. I'm talking about get some reinforcements. If you down and out, call on some people that can pray. Somebody who you know that will drop a word in God and say, hey, Lord, I need you right now. Hear thy servant's prayer. Your good and faithful servant. Lord, I'm asking you once again. Lord, I'm calling on you again. Lord, I need you to come through for me again. You need somebody that can pray. No, I'm serious. You need somebody that can pray. Somebody that knows how to get God's attention. Stop him in his tracks. Say, hold on, this is my good and faithful servant calling me, who is obedient to my word, who's always looking and seeking ye, seek ye first the kingdom of God. This is somebody who I need to answer. That's who you need. Somebody that's going to pray for you. Some reinforcements. You need somebody that's going to speak to God. Not saying that you can't, but you need some help. Sometimes need people to go in prayer with us to petition the throne of grace. That's all we need. But we need to understand that Satan uses discouragements for us. So Nehemiah, this is what Nehemiah did. When the people got discouraged, he called the family for some help. He said, therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, positioning them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. Oh, I'm going to get you some help. Moses, one of the greatest leaders, handpicked by God, became suicidal. Numbers 11 and 14, I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden is just too heavy for me. If this is how you are going to treat me, put me to death right now. Folks can get on your nerves. You ought to know that. If I have found favor in your eyes, and do not let me face my own ruins. The Lord's solution to his discouragements. This is what the Lord's solution. The Lord said to Moses, bring me 70 of Israel's elders who are known to you as leaders and officials among the people. Make them come to the tent of meeting and they may stand there with you. And then God said, I will come down and speak with you there, and I will take of the spirit that is on you and put the spirit on them. They will help you carry the burden of the people so that you will not have to carry it alone. You need help. A lot of times we try to do things by ourselves. I was often reminded that you got associate ministers here, whom I thank God for, to help me out. To do things that I didn't even ask them to do, but they already know their pastor, so they already prepared. That is a blessing to have people in place to do things for you, to take the load off of you, and then to have the deacons in place and the trustees in place to say, Pastor, we got this. You don't have to worry about this, Pastor. Just focus on bringing the word of God. It makes you feel good when things are in order. When you don't have to worry about those little minor things. Sometimes you see the pastor doing everything in the church. You see him over there, go there and play, and he'll go down there and sing, and then he'll go usher people in, and he's doing all kind of, he'll collect the offering, and then he go back there and escort somebody out, and then come back and preach. He do all of it. All of it. He got the pastor involved in all kind of stuff, and then won't sit back and be fed. You don't have to carry this alone. Sometimes you need to delegate, even in your house. Delegate. I like how my wife delegates. She tells the kids, go give me the brush. Go give me this. Go give me that. When you send Jeremiah, Jeremiah ain't going to find it. That's a boy growing up to be a man. He ain't going to find it. But my daughter, go right in there and get it. And come right on out with it and give it to her. She even said, Jeremiah was acting up. She said, Mama, you need the spoon. And Jeremiah looked at her. She said, Mommy, do you need the spoon? She knew where it was and she was ready to go get it. She's something else. 3 years old. Just the other day, she told him, that's a no-no. You don't do that. It's on video. It's unbelievable. We get discouraged, but you need somebody to help you. During time of discouragement, Joshua talked to God and prayed. Prayer is the best antidote for discouragement. And here's the other thing. Sometimes we need to reposition ourselves. When discouraged, reposition yourself from the position of doubt and defeat to the position of faith and victory. You can only do this through changing your stance. Stand on the word of God, not on your doubt. He said, if heaven and earth should pass away, my word will remain the same. So you need to stop standing on your word, but stand on God's word. Reposition yourself. If you love sports, sports reposition them. People reposition themselves. You want to know how a team won? Because they repositioned themselves. You want to know how a person got messed up and got struck out, and now all of a sudden they hitting the ball now? They repositioned themselves. You may have gotten me this time, but you ain't going to get me the next time. Some of us falling for the same trick every time. Well, he said he loved me. Well, she said she was going to be good to me. He said he was going to pay me back when he got paid. How many Tuesdays ago was that? I heard somebody say this, and it made a lot of sense. If you gave somebody some money and you ain't seen them no more, that was enough to get them out of your life. That's good. That was good. Yeah, that was a good thing. Don't be upset. You just paid for them to go. You ain't got to worry about them no more. If it only took $1 to get them out, that was worth it. $5. And they avoiding. You ain't got to worry. They ain't going to ask you no more. What? Because they owe you. You ain't got to worry about it. See, sometimes it's how you look at things. Some of y'all looking at, I want my $5 back. I don't care what pastors say. I want my $5. No, I gave it to him. I want, man, please. That $5 is gone. Reposition yourself. Job changed his position. Change yours. From crying and complaining to praying for his friends. Sometimes we got to reposition ourselves. Somebody, let me tell you something. If there's a saying that says you can't change the people you're around, then change the people you're around. In other words, leave them. Go. The best thing that you can do is leave. Walk away and leave. You ain't got to be bothered with that foolishness. So what am I saying to you? This morning, Satan has been working overtime in your life. He wants to distract you. He wants to major things in your life to stay the major things in your life, the distractions. Satan is working overtime to get you out of alignment with what God is trying to align you to and with. Satan is doing everything to working overtime to distract you. You know, when you overtime, you're trying to get a job done. You understand what I'm saying? You're trying to complete a job. You're trying to get a job done. Satan is trying to get a job done, so he's working overtime in some of your lives, trying to keep you from getting to where you need to be. So what am I saying? Anytime we present, listen to this, anytime we present a danger to the devil, he's going to work overtime in your life. He's going to come after you with everything he's got. Listen to this. We find Satan wanted to sift Peter. Why? Because I believe the reason why is because the devil knew the danger Peter presented as a preacher of the gospel. Think about it. 3,000 souls saved on the day of Pentecost? Come on now, Satan. Do you think Satan enjoyed that? 3,000. So my point is, what I'm saying is that Satan don't want you to tap into what God has for you. He doesn't want the church to grow. So you don't. That's why Jesus looked at him and said, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. In other words, knock you around. 3,000 souls are getting ready to be saved, and Satan don't want you to be there to preach it. Satan knows. When I say knows, not like God knows. But he knows the power that God has. Keep in mind, he was next to God. We fail to remember that. We only see him as the devil. But keep in mind, he had access in heaven. He was God's created, most beautiful being. So he was there with God. You don't think he know God better than you? So we find an angelic war going on in heaven. The prince of Persia warning against Gabriel to the point that Gabriel had to call for Michael to come and help. So we find Satan tempting Jesus, trying to make him sin so as to disqualify him as the savior of the world. Satan is working overtime. So we find Satan once again coming against Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He's working overtime. The reason why is because Satan was trying to keep Jesus from the cross. That's why Jesus had to say, "Get thee behind me, Satan," to Peter, because he's trying to prevent him from getting to the cross. So let me say this as I close. I'm not a boxing person, but there is some good teaching when you're dealing with boxing. When Joe Louis was in the was in his prime and he fought Tony Galinto, some of you all may know this, some of you may not know who he is, but let me just listen to this story. Joe Louis was favored to win because Tony loved to fight, but he hated to train. Listen to that. He loved to fight, but he hated to train. So at the first part of the fight, Galinto, Tony, he threw his punch and sent Louis to the mat. Louis was more surprised than hurt and jumped to his feet without waiting for the count. When he got back to the corner, his manager said, "Hey, why didn't you stay down there a little longer until the count?" He said, "No, I'm not staying down there and give him a chance to rest. No," said, "I'm not doing that." But see, here's the thing. Joe Louis was annoyed. He knew he was better than him. But he been sucker punched and got knocked down to the mat. And I'm going somewhere with this. So it frustrated him. So he jumped right back up and got back into the fight. So what I find intriguing about this is that we too are better than our opposition. In fact, if we fight the way we should, we cannot lose against our enemy. See, we have a weapon that has divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So what I'm saying is that when Paul is saying here is that we have the advantage over our opponent. We're going to get knocked down, but you don't have to stay down. Joe Louis said, "Hey, I'm not going to stay down and give him a chance to rest. I'm going to get back up and I'm going to fight him." You need to understand that you may get down in your life, but you don't have to stay down. Get back up, because you're better than your opponent. I'm trying to teach you. We have the ability to take our opponent to the mat and win the fight. If we fight the way we should, gotta say that. If we fight the way we should, we will not lose against our enemy. So if Satan is our enemy, so how do we fight him? Some of y'all would love to just duke it out with him. Y'all would like that, but that ain't no match for him. Not to fight him like that. That ain't no match for him. Well, what do we do, Pastor? I'm getting there. You don't fight him directly. Jude tells us that even the archangel, Michael, we know he's a warrior. We know he can fight, right? Watch how he did this. This is how you fight Satan. When he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare to bring a slanderous accusation against him, but he said, the Lord rebuke you. And he walked away. You don't fight Satan directly, but I guarantee you, if somebody come at you and you say something like, the Lord rebuke you, and you walk away, they trust me, it will hurt them more than what you can do to them physically. Think about it. You left them standing there waiting to argue and fight with you, and you just walked away from them. That's power. You just left them there. Satan was like, you ain't gonna know. Come on now. Y'all know. Oh, come on now. Y'all know how the reporters be like, okay, man, I know you got to say something. The reporters, they be digging. They digging. They trying to strike a nerve. They trying to get you going. But if you just walk away from them, you will tear them up. He said, the Lord rebuked you. I'm out of here. Somebody mess with you on the job, they come with you with some foolishness, all you got to do is just leave. You ain't got to entertain that. So here we have an archangel, who one of the most powerful angels in heaven, having this dispute with Satan, but even he doesn't directly fight Satan. He turns the battle over to God. We need to learn to, hey, I'm not going to fight you. I'm going to turn it over to God. God, messing with me. Deal with it. God, I already know they're getting ready to come in with some foolishness. He already know this. It's already on his radar. So all you got to do is just walk. Let me tell y'all, that hurts. I've done that before several times. That's what I'm telling you. It hurts. More than anything, I don't care if you got the smartest mouth on the planet. You walking away from somebody that's coming to you with some foolishness, you walking away from them will hurt them more than anything you can say. Because you just defeated them. You don't understand how much you defeated them. I'm talking about there was somebody that lied on me on the job. Oh, they made me mad. And the people on the job was mad too, because they said, that is not his character. So this person lied on me, and when this person came, I just did like this. We were all in the huddle. We were talking. Y'all know how we be. You know, you don't be working all 8 hours on the job. Come on. Y'all, if y'all saying that, you see, you let the devil use you this morning, because y'all know y'all don't work 8 hours on the job. Y'all know that. You don't work. Nobody in here work 8 hours on the job. Y'all probably work 5. I mean, at the most, okay, 5.5. I give you that half. But I ain't giving you no more than that. That's about as much productivity you're going to get on the job. People don't work. Half the time you're surfing the internet. I'm just saying, or on your phone, or in the hallway talking. Oh, I'm talking about myself. But you have to understand, we was in a crowd. We was just chit-chatting, just talking, and all of a sudden I seen this person coming that told a lie on me, and I said, She came over. I said, I ain't finna be bothered with this foolishness. So I left. Everybody saw that I left. They left too. And you know what it did to that person? It squashed that person. You don't give somebody power over you. No, you don't do that. And that person is sorry for what they said. A lie? Come on now. Y'all need to understand, don't give the enemy the power over you. You keep the power. You got it from God. Don't give it back to him. That's what happened with Adam and Eve. You had authority, you don't give it up. Take it back. You talking about taking back everything? Well, don't give it away. You won't have to worry about trying to take it back. Keep it. Trust me, that stuff works. Put your trust in God. Don't be ignorant of the devices of Satan. Because Satan will use anything he can use to trip you up. It could be alcohol, drugs. It can be a bad friend, you trying to fit in with people. Stop trying to fit in. That ain't going to work for you. Put your trust in God, who is the author and finisher of your faith. God knows how the outcome is going to be in your life if you stay with him. But if you don't, then he knows how the outcome is going to be in your life. Bad. Amen. Officers, as we get ready to partake in the Lord's Supper, remember, this is what God said we to do as often as we can. We do it every month, every first Sunday, to remember what God has done for us. And the reason why we do it on the first Sunday is to remember that he is first in our lives. And we give him the first things, the first fruits of our lives.